Welcome to Caring and Sharing, an annual holiday series on KUMD.
KUMD. Every year we like to take the opportunity to schmooze with some of the local nonprofits here in our area, find out what they're doing for the community, remind you what they're doing for the community, and also give them an opportunity to talk about what they need, what kind of help they could use. And maybe in the new year, you'll find yourself doing a little bit of volunteering, perhaps, donating some goods so that you can help out other folks in the community. It's our opportunity to engage directly with some of the nonprofits and also to kind of invite you in to find out what they're up to. Deb Holman's been a longtime guest on this program, and she is working boots on the ground with folks experiencing homelessness here in our community, and she joins us this morning. Hey, Deb, good morning. It's always great to have you.
Good morning, Lisa.
So many of the folks that you work with are really having a lot of struggles. We've talked a lot about how most people are actually a paycheck or two from homelessness, and a lot of people couch surf, and if you're lucky, you've got family or friends that can take you in and give you a hand until you can kind of get back on your feet. But there are some people that is not a possibility for. Talk a little bit about the folks that you work with and what you're trying to do beginning with outreach.
Well, you know, I think with outreach, we're trying to meet the people where they're at, whether it's outside, in a car, in an abandoned house, a doorway. And if you think of it, you know, being outside or being in shelters, you know, it's all a kind of a spectrum, you know, to move someone into shelter or housing. So we start with them maybe out on the street and try to work with them to get maybe into shelter, then into housing. So that can take a long time, though. It takes a long time to wait for housing. So some people, you know, we have 80 people a night in shelter. It can be really hectic. It's a very busy place in the evening. That's one thing that people could do at Chum and sign up to do a meal in the evening, and then you will see what it's like there at night. It's It is a lot of commotion in the shelter at night.
And some people, for whatever reason, and there are a lot of reasons, some people have had terrifying experiences in a shelter. Shelters obviously do what they can to keep the folks safe there. But some people are struggling with chronic mental health issues. Some people are struggling with substance abuse issues. Some people perhaps have been traumatized in a shelter environment, and so they're not willing to go into shelter. And every year, you're called out to deal with folks that are living outside, and either somebody's concerned about them and they want to make sure they're okay, or somebody's saying, not on my land, go get these people out of here.
Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of those calls lately, too, about getting people off of their land. You know, now that the leaves have fallen, et cetera, there's somebody up by Central School, and the school district wants them off the land, which, you know, is somewhat ironic. They haven't bothered anybody all summer, and now they have to leave. So we'll be dealing with that this week. But it's kind of the time of year that happens. The leaves fall off the trees, and people notice they're there, and then they want them gone. So we try to work with those people either to move them to a safer spot or to get them to shelter, but ultimately the choice is up to them. And like you say, these are people that don't want to access shelter. They're, you know, they have anxiety maybe around people. They have untreated mental health, maybe some addiction issues. They would just rather be outside by themselves, you know, even if it is, like, dangerously cold. So, you know, part of what we do with street outreach is to make sure they're safe. So we do appreciate those calls coming in. If you see somebody, you know, if you're walking a trail, you see somebody in a tent, please call it in with the location and we can go check that out.
And the idea is to make folks aware of what their options might be in case they're not aware, but then to try to provide the gear that they might need. That could be, I know that you've put out an APB every so often for sleeping bags, for right. tents. What are some of the other things that people might need? Could somebody say, hey, you know, I've got a little bit of land, and if somebody is really more comfortable, they could come and stay, you know, on my piece of property?
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Deb, if you could, you know, if you were suddenly granted $8 billion or a magic wand and you could create housing for these folks, these are some of the people that are the most difficult to house because of this, of the struggles that they're going through, untreated mental illness or addiction issues in particularly. And these are the people that other folks look at and really don't understand, are frightened of, really have a hard time feeling compassion for, I think, because their lives are so different. We can't really put ourselves in their shoes. What is the best, what would be, again, if you could wave a magic wand, what would be the best housing arrangement for these folks so that they could be safe?
I personally, like, if I had my choice, I would look at, like, a San Marcos-type model with 24-hour staff, case management on site, looking at the various barriers and struggles people may have. It might be, you know, San Marcos deals with addiction on one side. The other side is just regular SRO housing. So, you know, if we could have housing, you know, specifically for even drug users, mental health, you know, definitely it's all in the mix, but more specialized and just kind of harm reduction based. That people can just come and go without all these barriers that we create trying to get them in there.
And a lot of the paperwork, I think anybody who's ever needed to perhaps, I mean, even walking an older relative through some of the services that are available, the amount of paperwork is daunting. And if you're a person who's maybe struggling with addiction or struggling with mental health issues, this is just too much. It's just way too difficult. So that kind of supportive housing is the piece that would maybe fill in the gap. What's the San Marcos serves how many people? Do you have a rough idea?
I think they have 70 units.
And how many people in your, I'm asking you to make a guesstimate, how many people could use those services? How many more units would our community need to be, to maybe be pretty close to the need?
Oh, geez. My initial guess would be 300 for singles, and I'm not even, you know, estimating families at this point. So
the idea of...
I'm kind of basing it on the coordinated entry list, which I don't have a current update. So I think the last numbers were like 800 households.
That are, and that's 800 households that are trying to find some kind of housing. Is that the idea?
Yeah, we don't know. I don't know the breakdown, but 800 includes singles, children, and families, youth and families.
So a lot of folks right now experiencing homelessness, and of course the housing issue for everybody is, you know, a huge part of that, because it isn't as though there's a lot of housing available for everybody and, oh, well, we could designate a little bit of this. It's, you know, housing is a challenge pretty much whether or not you're employed in our community. Deb, it's always good to find out what our community could do or maybe should do if we had all the money in the world. We don't. What do folks experiencing homelessness, what do they need from the community? First of all, in terms of stuff, but also maybe a little more compassion, maybe a little more understanding. What do folks need?
Yeah, a little more empathy and compassion for the situation. It's not always black and white. It's not addiction. It's not mental health. It can be a variety of factors. It could happen to any one of us. You know, I just had some large vet bills. I live payday to payday. It's like, hey, if I didn't have some support and help, you know, I mean, I could be looking at, you know, paycheck to paycheck. It's the way of the world these days. So it's not just, you know, it's not just people that are poor. It's people that are working poor that are landing in these situations and finding themselves precariously housed, homeless. And it's just, it can happen to anybody. I don't think people really realize that.
It's not the world necessarily that we grew up in, is it? So what are some things that people can do in terms of volunteer efforts, maybe, or goods that CHUM could use to help folks that are in these situations?
Well, of course, this time of year, we're always looking for warm stuff that are going to keep people safe. You know, we want people's feet to stay warm, their hands to stay warm. So hats, gloves. I know we've not gotten very many gloves at the Chum shelter lately, so it's kind of late in the year, so gloves is an immediate need right now for not only those that are outside, but just in shelter. Anything to keep them warm this time of year.
All right.
And I think the website also has, the Chum website also has specific.
Okay, specific needs. We'll get a link set up so it'll be easy for folks to find that. And sleeping bags for folks obviously sounds like something. And you mentioned to people sign up to serve a meal. Are there other volunteer opportunities where folks would have the opportunity to maybe get a better idea of the people that Chum is helping and how they could fit into that effort?
Yes, I think there are, but they are best gone through the volunteer advocate because I don't want to.
Right.
I don't want to say what's there and what's not there and leave something out. That's pretty important. So I know the Steve O'Neill is always looking for volunteers as well. Steve O'Neill Apartments, and they have a fundraiser going on right now for winter gear for the children as well, and some other things are going on up there. And then don't forget we have our annual memorial service December 24th.
All right.
Coming up, our Chum Memorial Service.
And that memorial service has to do with folks that have lost their lives on the streets. Is that right?
Yes. And we have quite a list this year. I right off the top of my head, I cannot think, but I think it's over 50 already this year.
And that's just in our community.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Deb, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa. Have a great day.
Deb Holman is a street outreach worker, and she's with Chum. She joined us this morning as part of our Caring and Sharing holiday series here on 103.3 KUMD.